Saturday morning. Right. You're ready to get working.
Here we go.
That's right. You're tuned in to Lou.
Yes, I was just wondering, this Mr. I'll Come Over and Help Scrape, Prime, and Paint Your Wrought Iron Railing?
And House Smarts Radio.
No. That's coming up later on.
He may not be knocking on your door anytime soon. You know, social distancing. But he sure will help you now over these radio airwaves.
What time are you going to be here?
All you have to do is call. Here's your host, Lou Manfredini, and House Smarts Radio.
Hey, get a rhythm.
I'm here metaphorically.
When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm.
Hey, that's the second time I've used metaphorically.
When you get the blues.
Well, hi, everybody.
Get a rock and roll feeling in your
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio.
Get gone, get a rhythm.
Our phone number is 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. How can I help you this morning? How may I help you this morning? I'm happy to do that in any way I possibly can. You just have to pick up the phone and give us a call. We will be here for the next few hours. So anything that you have going on in and around your home, please give us a call. 877-213-4-LOU. A big good morning to Dandy Don and Joe. How you gentlemen doing this morning?
Good morning, Lou. Very well, thank you.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
I was going to the men. Okay, so that people understand, you are such... You're so mean. Everybody thinks you're so nice. Okay, we've talked for like the last half an hour before the show starts. And so I was going to give the due to the gentleman because I was going to be taught. And then I was excited. And Lindsay, how are you? Mm-hmm. That was my whole transition, but you just can't wait.
I sensed that Lindsay was about to jump on. That's why,
right?
That's why I got it out.
I can't win. I cannot win. I swear, all the women in my life, they're just very demanding.
Well, maybe you should just ask them how they're doing first, then.
I know. You're right. You're right. Thanks, Joe. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
No, I really am just giving you a hard time.
You're very
so
good at it.
It's so easy.
I know. You're very... Now it's going to... You're gonna harsh my mellow the rest of the day.
That's harsh so brutal. So brutal when someone does that.
Mellow? Is that what you...
Harsh my mellow. You don't... Is that not a term you young kids use these days? Harsh my mellow?
No, but are you mellow? Are you saying you're mellow?
No, I'm not mellow.
That expression makes me think of marshmallows.
Right? Are you a marshmallow fan?
I am, yeah. I like to roast them.
Joe?
Yeah, of course. A good
Lindsay?
S'more.
Got chocolate.
Do you like marshmallows?
Got chocolate. Yeah.
Not a marshmallow fan. Like, if I make a s'more, which I like it, like, all my, you know, we'll do the s'more thing all the time. The kids love it, and the kids are not kids anymore, but, and then she'll bring out a tray with the graham crackers and the marshmallows and the Hershey's chocolate. Has to be Hershey's. And, I'll just sneak over there and take a piece of the chocolate.
That's
like
the best part.
You don't even have a marshmallow in a s'more?
No.
No, it's I've done that.
Something about it, I just don't like it. My wife loves those dark chocolate-covered marshmallows, you know, from a candy store. No?
Yeah.
I don't like marshmallows by themselves. Like it needs to be either in hot chocolate or on a s'more.
It's wrapped in dark chocolate. It's not by itself.
It's true.
You don't like that?
What about marshmallow fluff?
It can't be chewy.
Marshmallow fluff? Ooh, no.
Not a fan of that.
I don't know. There's something
either.
Weird about it. I just don't. I'll eat just about anything except crickets. I've heard some conversations about crickets. Like there's some farmer growing crickets.
Yeah, there's a big bug movement for protein.
It's a big bug movement because it's like full of protein. No, I'm not kidding.
Yeah?
Yeah. You heard that too, Don?
Oh, yeah. They actually serve, I think they experimented anyway, in Seattle's football stadium. They served some bug dishes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. There's something like you can raise like a million crickets in like a couple weeks or something. And then you make protein out of it and you put it in your milkshake.
Is it April 1st? Just went through my head.
Cricket milkshakes.
Don's on it. He knows what I'm talking about. Crickets, high in protein.
I'm going to look it up just to be sure, but I want to see what those Seattle things, because I know I did hear something about that.
I'm just going to make sure, and I'll get back to you. All right, well, we'll get back to the gentleman and Lindsay in just a few minutes. 877-2134-LOU. Let's get to the calls now before we need to take a break, and we can do that right here. This is Wendy, who's in Westchester. Hi, Wendy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
We have a plug-in carbon monoxide detector, and now we want to get a natural gas one.
Okay.
Because Con Ed's going around doing that. And can you recommend one? Do you like the combination plug-in one,
yeah,
or just separate, probably?
Now, remember that, tell me, do you have Are you living in a house, an apartment?
A house.
Okay, and do you
a
have...
A house. And downstairs, we do have a plug-in, you know, where the plug thing is, carbon monoxide one, with an extra plug there.
And the downstairs one, meaning that that's where the furnace or the water heater is?
Yeah, yeah, that's where we want to put it. We do have a carbon monoxide one there that we plugged in the wall.
Okay, take out the carbon monoxide one that you have plugged in down there, and then buy the combination, what they call explosive gas and carbon monoxide detector.
Oh, wait, explosive gas
and
carbon monoxide detector.
Yes, so, and do you heat the home with natural gas or oil?
Yes.
Natural gas, okay. KIDDE makes one, K-I-D-D-E, and First Alert both make one. They are plug-in, and I believe now they also make these in there. That all of the manufacturers now are going to these 10-year lithium battery units, meaning, meaning that you don't have to plug them in. And you'll buy it, and you'll put a little, take a magic marker, and write on there 2021, and in and in 10 years, you take the whole detector, because then the detector should be replaced. The battery will go, the detector will be replaced, you'll buy a new one and go. The one thing
But can I just ask you something? Yeah. What about if, like, the gas one goes or isn't working properly? Now you have the carbon monoxide still with that, you know, the whole combination.
They're pretty dependable. I wouldn't worry about, like, one failing or the other. If you want a backup just to have it, absolutely. Look, I'm pro detectors. It's good for the health and well-being of everyone, but the explosive gas one is an important one. What I will tell you is that when you put that down in the basement area where your mechanical stuff is, I don't want it.
Yes.
I don't want it right next to the unit. I want it kind of like.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, a little bit away from there, which is good. I have one in my own home. It brings me great peace of mind, and I, like I mentioned, I write it right on there with a magic marker of the date I installed it, and then I know to replace it, 10 years from now when I need to do that. That's very important. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Why does the grass grow? Why is the sky blue?
Nobody has all the answers.
I kind of screwed up discoloring or staining my vinyl siding.
I finally got rid of the big metal box, and I have a beautiful stain.
But the questions about your house? Lou just might be able to help.
Then you're going to use a porcelain touch-up kit that comes with a little paintbrush like you're painting your nails. Paint around that to seal the rust up.
Now back to Lou Manfredini right here on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 877-213-4-LOU, House Smarts Radio. That's our phone number. Happy to talk with you this morning. Building, renovating, spilled a big gallon of paint somewhere. Ooh, I hope that didn't happen. Let's talk to Stephanie, who's in New Jersey. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Lou. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. How may I help you?
I have a bathroom sink. The cold water smells musty and tastes musty. I've been using a drain, enzyme cleaner for 3 days consecutively, and it's helped a little bit, not much.
Wait. The water, you mean the drain smells or the water coming out of the faucet?
The water coming out of the faucet.
Well, the enzyme's not going to help you at all. Are you on you're on city water. You're not on a well or anything like that.
I believe Ridgewood. Have you heard of Ridgewood?
Yeah.
New Jersey?
Yeah, sure.
I'm on Ridgewood water. I think it's a well.
Okay. And this is only happening in the vanity faucet?
Yes, only one
kitchen
faucet.
Kitchen faucet's fine.
Kitchen faucet is fine, and the other bathroom is fine.
Hmm. All right. I think that, well,
I stumped. Did I stump you?
No. This is what I want to know. When you turn the water on, is that when you smell it, or are you drinking this water? Or like brushing your teeth or whatever?
No, I was drinking it for a couple days, and I'm thinking there's something wrong with it.
And you taste it, like, in the glass?
Of course, yes.
Okay, all right. The only reason I'm asking you this, Stephanie, is because sometimes, I give this tip a lot, where the drain itself has some gunk buildup, and when you turn the water on, the water can smell, but it's actually reacting with what's in the drain, and then you smell it, and you think it's the water, but it's actually the drain. But the fact that you're telling me when you fill a glass of water, and then you put your schnozola over there, I'm not trying to say you have a schnozola, but you know, you put your nose there, and you smell it, you're smelling it there. So this is what I want you to try. You know what the aerator is on the faucet? Where the water, when you turn...
It's on the end of the faucet.
Correct. So when you turn the water on, where the water comes out, there is a little plastic, it's a combination of plastic and metal, and it's the aerator that actually disperses the water so you get an even flow. If you have a pair of pliers, and you were to grab a hold of that and loosen it, so when you're holding it in your hand, like if you had your right hand, you would turn it clockwise as you're looking down from the top. But you may need a pair of pliers there.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it right now, and it doesn't work.
It could be corroded, and you can't get it off. But with a pair of pliers, you should be able to do it. Then, what I want you to do is run the water and try and run it without that. Now, it could splash a little bit, so just be careful you don't turn it on really with a lot of force. And look at that aerator and see if it looks clogged or if the plastic has deformed at all. Try running that water without the aerator on there for just 30 seconds or so, and then fill it with a glass and see if it smells. If it doesn't smell, then it's probably that aerator that needs to be replaced, and you can go to the hardware store, take it there, and say, hey, I need one of these, because they come in a bunch of different styles and sizes, and they can replace that for you. If it still smells, well, then it could be an issue with the faucet itself.
Oh.
Sometimes.
Never thought of that.
The valve body, is this a single handle or a dual handle faucet?
It's dual handle.
Okay.
Handle, yes.
So the fact that it's just on the cold water side, it could be an issue with the valve assembly there that may need to be replaced. But I would start with the aerator. And then one other thing I want you to try. Do you know how to take the pop-up off of the sink, the thing that goes up and down?
My daughter and I did that.
Okay.
Yes.
I want you to do it again, but I want you to scrub the sides of the drain. So this is the one piece of this puzzle that I think you'll probably solve. There's something called a tube brush. When you go to the hardware store, Rubbermaid makes one. It's yellow, the tines on the end, with a black handle. It's sort of like a big version of an old bottle brush. Remember the bottle brushes when the kids were doing baby bottles? So it's like that.
Of course, yes.
You're going to put that in the drain. You're going to pour a little pine salt in the drain, and you're going to scrub the sides of the drain all the way down to the trap. Many times that drain at the top, from where the sink is to the trap, it gets dirty with gunk. You know, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, and all that stuff goes in there, and it builds up on the sides, and it can make an odor. And that odor can sometimes make you feel like it's coming out of the faucet, but it's actually coming out of the drain. You're not going to hurt anything by doing what I just described, and you may solve this problem. Try all this, but then will you call me back next week and let me know what happens?
I certainly will.
You're a good lady.
I appreciate your help.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Appreciate you calling House Smarts Radio. That's how it works. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Mike, who's in Chicago. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. What's going on?
So I've got a house in southeastern Wisconsin. It's on a small lake in the town of Wheatland. I don't know if you're familiar with the area.
Okay.
And I've got it's about 1,050 square feet. And the other day I took the hatch off the crawl space just to look down in there, which, by the way, I can't even move down in there. It's very, very tight. And I noticed some airflow down there. It felt like warm air. And I think I've got a hole in one of the ducts somewhere in that 1,050 square foot space.
Okay.
I don't know how to get to it. That's my problem. And I've got a 5-year-old train downdraft furnace, which really puts out a lot of, airflow, but it seems like it runs forever to try to get the small space heated up. So kind of in a spot here. I don't know what to do.
So you can't, in other words, you can't crawl in that space because it's just not tall enough?
Right, right. It's just not tall enough. It's compact. No, really, I don't know why they didn't dig this thing out years ago in the 40s, but they just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all dirt, you know. I don't know if I could run a fish tape through there with a camera on it or something like that, pinpoint it.
And let me ask you this. So the best of your knowledge, this it's a downdraft, so you've got like one main trunk line, and then it branches off of there?
It does.
And then the registers for the heating are in the, when you're up in the living space of the home, are in the floor.
They're in the floor, but they're in the floor. That's
okay.
Correct.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, you, since you, I mean, it sounds like you've got some abilities here, you know, you can go rent a sewer camera.
Okay.
All right. And a sewer camera would do the same thing for what you're wanting to do here. And what I would probably suggest, I mean, if there's a lot of warm air, it could be that you've got some separation in the trunk line. And so that poses an issue because, you know, what you probably need to do there is where that downdraft is going from the furnace, you're going to need to cut a piece of sheet metal out, okay? Just a big square, like 1 foot by 1 foot. And then you're just going to put a piece of sheet metal back over the top when you're done, right? And okay. You're going to run this camera. It's going to give you a video as you're pushing it through there, and you're going to go through, and you're going to, and it is crystal clear, right? And they even have a head that you can put on there to roll through on that. It'll cost you probably $200 to rent this camera, but at least you can carefully go through there on your own and find out what's going on. And now if it's like, oh my gosh, look, it's this register right here, you know, like it's this branch off here. Well, then you got to address if you got to get underneath there and dig out the floor so someone can get in there, or, you know, find some little friend who's you know,
right?
Like some,
right?
Hey, kid, you want to make $50? Yeah, take this roll of duct tape and crawl under my house with all the spiders and everything like that. I mean, that's the way to start the whole process to make sure that you can at least pinpoint what's going on. Then you can patch the sheet metal over the top of that. And then at least you'll know what the next steps are to solve the problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, being a homeowner ain't easy. I mean, at least not for me, which is why people like me are grateful for people like Lou.
Hey, John, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
G-L-O-R-I-A. This is Gloria.
Hi, Lou. God, I've been thinking about you all week.
Really?
Who's taking your calls live right now?
Lou, I've got an older furnace with a crack in the heat exchanger.
I know you get this question a lot.
I've got a simple question you can use your opinions on.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Ooh, child, things are going.
Everybody, hands up.
Ooh, child, things.
Welcome back.
Brighter.
House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4LOU.
Ooh, child, things are going to get easier.
Before we get back to your phone calls, the bottom of the hour break, I like to do a little story about, about the heartland, about farm stories. I'm not quite sure what to call this, but I really do like these stories that occur where people are committed to helping people. We need more stories about people coming together, and in particular that happens on the farm and in the agricultural community. And so, you know, right now I'm calling it Farm Stories. We've got to come up with a good name, but I'm having a lot of fun with this. I hope you're enjoying these stories as well. Take a listen. Jim Redder was a farmer who liked to do things the old-fashioned way. He owned a farm since he was 18 in Flandreau, South Dakota, alongside his wife of 46 years, Deb. It was on this farm every year that he would harvest his fields with a corn picker, filling up 5 corn cribs, and later grinding the ears to feed to his cattle. He and Deb had hosted the South Dakota State hand corn picking contest for 8 years, and he hoped to one day be selected for the national competition. Jim liked to take his time with his work, and he was passionate about upholding agricultural traditions. This past fall, however, Jim was not able to carry this tradition on. Sadly, after a tough battle with COVID-19, Jim passed. But with his passing came the passing of the torch of tradition to the rest of his family. It was a beautiful Saturday in December when friends and family filled up the farm to help Deb with what Jim had left behind. Her and her husband's farm was filled with loved ones, young and old, doing it all. Setting up the sheller, shelling cobs, hauling grain, whatever needed to be done, they did, and more. What sounds like a day of work ended up being a day of fun, celebrating Jim's life and paying tribute to what he loved to do most. Though the Redders became regular hosts of the South Dakota State Hand Corn Picking Contest, part of Jim's dream was to host the national competition, a dream that came true in 2018. The rest of his dream carries on with Deb, who will continue with work on their farm and all that they have created together. The most important, of course, being their family. Love that. You know, if you have a story that you know about, maybe you read about, that you'd like us to share with the audience, just text us at 877-213-4568 with your ideas. And if we choose yours, yeah, we'll send you out a House Smarts Radio hat. For sure. Why not?
Well,
yes.
Or if you have a, because we're trying to come up with a title for it.
Oh. Oh, you That's want a title.
Farm Friendlies.
Yeah. Farm Friendlies.
Friendship Farms.
Friendship Farms.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, Don, come in here and give me a hug. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Louise Lou, who's in Brooklyn. Hey, Lou.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, have a house in a historic area in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And the house was graffitied or tagged. And the police came to help take off because the city closed its graffiti removal company.
Right.
And so the police sprayed and rubbed, and the paint came off, but it also took off the finish of the finished brick. Now, the houses are like 1880s.
Yeah.
And so then they sprayed it, and, you know, the paint started coming off, and then they tried to dab it, but they had to do that twice, and it came off, so we stopped, because while we won't have white,
right,
we're going to have the word anyway.
What, okay, wait. They tagged your house. The brick is natural, right? It's not a painted brick.
As far as I know, yes. It's the original finished. Yeah.
How recent was this tagging?
It happened around January 10th.
All right. I'm going to give you a product I want you to write down, and this I think is going to solve your problem and not ruin the finish of the brick. Okay. Tell
the
me.
The other thing I was concerned about. They talked about power washing. I'm
No.
The
no, you don't need that. Can you reach all this? Obviously, you can reach where all this tagging occurred.
Somebody can.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the product. It's called Superzilla. S-U-P-E-R.
Yes.
Z-I-L-L-A. Like Godzilla, but it's Superzilla.
Okay.
You can buy, I would go to their website because based on what you have to do, they sell this in bigger containers. Like if you can find a hardware store that sells it, which many do, it's probably in the aisle where they sell WD-40. Okay. It is a lightweight oil, but it's also a cleaner, and it's the perfect cleaner for this. If you go to their website, I believe the website for purchase is buy Superzilla, B-U-Y, Superzilla.com. And I want you to buy a couple of the bigger bottles. I think they got a bottle that's about the size of a quart, right, with a spray on the end of it, which would be perfect for you. I want you to spray the areas where it got tagged really well and then let it sit there for about 10 minutes. And then use a stiff Actually, you know what would make life easier? You can buy this thing called a drill brush at the hardware store, which is a nylon brush that goes on the end of your drill. Okay, so whoever's going to do this, spray it, scrub it, it's going to come off. It will not damage the brick.
But when the officer just used a paper towel and rubbed it, the color of the brick came off.
Well, that's because of the product that they used. Whatever they use, they probably use some like baking soda combination of something that a lot of the cities and the villages. First of all, I'm super impressed that the police officers were there helping you. That's big salute to the police officers that were doing that. That's amazing. But if you try this, I think it's going to work and not damage the brick.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And I have one other question.
Sure.
If you can give me some.
Yeah.
I have an old Amana side-by-side refrigerator, about 15 years old.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the freezer stopped working.
But the fridge did.
We're not here that often, so I noticed it the other day. And the fridge gets cold because of the freezer, right?
No.
So
here's the thing. You're a Amana, okay? So it could be a couple things. Yeah. The refrigerators have, you know, most refrigerators, other than like the super fancy Sub-Zeros and whatnot, they have one compressor that operates the fridge and the freezer, meaning that the thing that gets it cold. Uh-huh. If your fridge is still cold, but the freezer is not, there's a little blower fan in the back that operates independently between the two units, that fan could be bad and need to be replaced.
No, the refrigerator also gets, it's cool, but...
Oh, so the refrigerator's not cold also. Okay, all right.
No, it's not really
and
cold.
And have you defrosted the unit yet?
There's no... It's a side-by-side. There's no defrosting.
It could be needing to be defrosted. The fact that it's older, it can be, even though it's a frostless unit, if a door wasn't closed once or, you know, every now and then doesn't seal up right, and the fact that you said you're not there that often, my recommendation first, before you call somebody, get a cooler or something, whatever's in there, take everything out, open it up, either pull the breaker or unplug it for at least 6 hours. And let's defrost the unit first and then plug it back in and then see. If you're back in business, then you're good to go. If not, then you definitely need to have a service tech come out and take a look at it. And then you can decide whether or not you want to invest the money in, repairing an older fridge or potentially replacing the fridge because, I mean, refrigerators are not that expensive. I mean, if they say to you, yeah, we can fix it, lady, for $400, you can buy a new fridge for, $600 or $700, and that might make more sense if the refrigerator is older than, say, 15 years old. Thanks so much for the phone call. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 877-213-4LOU is the number. This is Dave in Forest Elm, Missouri. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Oh, hi, Lou. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Yeah, hey, you know what? I bought a ranch walkout. It's a brand new construction, and there's luxury vinyl in the basement. And when I bought it, there was only a couple areas where I could feel a little give when you walk on it, like a little spongy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's winter, I'm feeling it in more areas, that little give in the floor. It's a sponge. And I realize, basements are not level,
right?
But I have the 210 warranty, and I'm just wondering, is this stuff going to pop up on me in the future?
So if it is luxury, now you're certain that it's luxury vinyl, not laminate flooring, correct?
Oh no, it's definitely luxury vinyl, okay. and I can see the backing, the underlayment is at least 3/8.
Yeah.
Thick.
So here's what you said you just bought the place. Like, when did you move in?
August.
Okay, so you're still pretty fresh in there. I need
yeah.
That luxury vinyl will settle. And it will, you know, I'm assuming when you go down there into the basement now, it's not, the floor looks pretty flat, right? You're not see waviness or anything in there.
Oh, no, no. It looks great. It does.
That sponginess, the vinyl, as opposed to laminate, will kind of settle and take on the contour, the slight contours of what the concrete is, and it should be fine. I'm assuming you don't, do you have any furniture down there now?
Yes, I do. Yeah, not a lot, but I do have it. Yeah.
Let's do this. So you moved in August. Let's give it till the middle of summer. I bet once it warms up a little bit and there's a little bit more humidity down there, you know, that'll just naturally occur in the summer months, that luxury vinyl floor should settle, and that should be really a non-issue for you. If it turns out that it is, like all of a sudden we get to, you know, the middle of June, and you're like, man, this is still here, then you could talk to the builder about popping up a couple of those tiles right there, which they can do, and then feather that area up a little bit to take the pocket out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But just give it a little time. And, you know, the beauty part of that luxury vinyl is that it's super durable. It's 100% waterproof. It can take the humidity, and you shouldn't have any issues with it whatsoever.
Oh, okay, great. Hey, and I have just one more thing, if I could just ask you.
Sure.
In my kitchen, I have the luxury vinyl also, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's no issue. Everything's real firm. But there is just one area, like I'm 6'2", 220. When I walk on this one area, I hear a boom down below. My wife walks on it. She's only 125. You don't hear anything. But with my weight, I hear it, and I pinpointed that downstairs, where you hear this noise, it's the cool air return area where I hear this
Dave,
boom.
Dave, how long you been married?
25 years.
Okay, you never, ever, ever tell anybody how much your wife weighs. I don't care if we're talking about a floor, nothing. You just say, my wife, who's as light as a feather, that's what you say. 25 years, you should know better. Okay, that movement there, if it's, it could be an issue with the bridging in the floor, that you're getting a little movement on the framing. If it's finished below, you may have to have the builder come back and add some bridging, which means they have to cut out the, drywall there to get that going for you so that it doesn't move, because that's more of a framing issue that popping can occur, and they should be able to solve that problem for you. They're not going to love it. But it's definitely going to be better for you. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Let's get one more call in here. This is Barbara, who's calling in on Long Island. Hey, Barbara, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, here's the question, so maybe you could solve my problem. I moved into a condo about 11 years ago, wooden door frame. They're telling me that the door is mine, but the frame belongs to the building, and I need to replace the door because it's not closing properly. I guess it's the building settled. Can you replace a wooden door with a metal door in the wood with the frame that's there, or do you think the frame is causing the problem?
So the frame is metal, but the door is wood.
No, the frame is wood, too. Everything's wood.
And this is the entry door?
Entry door to my house, yeah.
Yeah, and well, I mean, yes, you can. But the problem is that if we've gotten some settling where the frame itself is out of whack, okay, that may have to be adjusted or reset, and that might be something that you have to, you know, address with the contractor that's going to do this work. There's a great website, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NAIR.org, NAIR.org. There you can find really good carpentry contractors to come help you do this work. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, New York, thanks so much for listening. Our phone number is still going to be hot. So if you want to call in at 877-213, please do. House Smarts Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Good morning. It's a brand new day. Time to get to work.
I have a problem with a bathroom door.
We have been plagued with fruit flies.
I have a question that you probably answered dozens of times.
Hey, there are no silly questions on this show. Remember, We may not have it all together.
You know, the buttons are mixed up here.
But together, we have it all.
I build houses. I don't push buttons.
Well, most of the time. Here's your host, taking your calls live right here, right now. Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
It's big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working.
You know who has 9 kids?
Good morning.
Philip Rivers.
Dadgummit himself.
Philip Rivers. He has got 9 kids. My wife loves Philip Rivers. She's like, oh, there's my quarterback. I go, why? He's got 9 kids. I go, that's why you like. And then we joke about some other things that I'm not going to say. Hey, Don, I got a quick question, and I don't want to put you on the spot. But do your parents listen to the show?
Yes, Lou, they do, actually. My mom and my stepdad are big fans, and my aunts as well.
All right, well, then I'm not going to say what I'm going to say. I saw a billboard when I was driving on a road, and I saw this billboard, and like I read it, and it was this simple thing. And I was like, well, that reminds me of Don Kleppen. But I'm not going to say it because your parents are listening. You know what it said? It said, do you know a good-looking, fine young man? And I'm like, Don Kleppen.
That's a weird ad.
There's a lot of strange billboards
in Wisconsin.
What exactly
is it selling, Lou?
There's a lot of strange billboards in Wisconsin.
Well, they were selling something else. I'll tell you later.
I'll take the compliment.
But it was so funny because it was yesterday. I was driving to our hardware store in Villa Park, and I saw this thing, and I swear to God, Don, I looked up at it, and I go, Don Kleppen. It just came to my mind.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I really do
appreciate that.
Just so you know, on a Friday, I'm thinking of you.
You're the man.
Need to take a break. I need to know what this is.
I will. I'll tell you. So anyway, good morning, everybody. Once again, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Coming up a little bit later on, the winter can be, it can wreak havoc on your deck. And there's a brand new, pretty new product that is a composite when it comes to building a deck. We'll talk about that after 7:30 this morning, as well as some tips to keep your deck clean and, you know, not damaged or anything. Joe Brand, I was also thinking of you last night because I was bebopping around on TV last night. I was watching the Bulls game. Can I get excited about the Chicago Bulls?
You can get excited. I mean, yeah, you can enjoy watching the games. I don't think you should bet the house on them winning the championship this year.
But I saw last night, first of all, I have a family friend who works now for the Charlotte Hornets.
Ooh.
And that green that they got going on is not good to look at on television.
See, I was going to say, you don't like the paint? It's not even just the painted area. It's the three-point line and in. They've got honeycomb.
Literally, you have to turn your eyes away. It's like this bright green.
It's like an aqua. It's like a teal.
Like an aqua, and I don't love it. But she's not in charge of that. Michael Jordan, I think, is in charge of that, right? But I watched that game, and then I was flipping back to the Hawks, which, you know, and I know that we don't play Detroit, or we didn't for a while, and now with the new thing, we're going to play them a lot. You know, beating Detroit is like the Bears beating the Packers.
It is, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they're legacy. It's a rivalry.
It's like a legacy thing, right? So that was fun. But I was watching that Bulls game back and forth, and the Michigan game, I was watching that game, too. They're a fun team to watch. I had a lot of sports going on.
Heck yeah.
It was a good day for sport. You know what about the Bulls right now is it's just no matter the score, they do keep it competitive towards the end.
Like they're springing their step. Like there were some really good defensive plays, and you saw them hustling. You didn't see that the last few years.
Yeah, I was talking to a good buddy yesterday who's really into basketball, and he just said, you know, even with 5 minutes left, there's still structure with the offense. There's still a reason for the way they're doing things, and that all starts with their head coach, Billy Donovan, who came in to just kind of reset the whole aura of this whole organization, or at least the team, and you're seeing the players and the team respond to it. I mean, Zach LaVine's on fire right now, and the offense is looking great, so yeah, absolutely. Get pumped up about it.
I probably should, you know, because I think people, when I talk about sports like this, they're thinking, wow, Lou, you're really a sports guy. Everything I just said was my wife goes, okay, we're going to watch all these games tonight. It was her, my wife, that said, we'll put all these games. I'm like, all right, well, I'll sit there with a glass of wine and watch the games. And so,
but again, we can just let it be that this is all your information because we don't need your wife coming in here and then eventually taking over my job.
I think most people that listen to the show realize, right? Joe's like, I don't have enough people nipping at my heels. I got to worry about Lou's wife coming in. I understand.
I can see the WGN decision makers be like, Lou and his wife on the show.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
That could be a little like, right.
Another piranha in the tank.
877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's take a quick call here before we take a break. This is Mike, who's in Lombard. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Oh, thank you. How may I help you, sir?
Well, I'm helping out my older brother with a big project in his house. He has a split-level ranch that is got old flooring in the main level of the house. There was tile in the foyer. There is two levels of linoleum sheet flooring in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And carpet in the living room, great room. So we've decided that we're going to take all that up and put in like the most inexpensive, like 2-inch or 2.25-inch red oak flooring. And I've been over there helping him, and I have a few questions because when you walk in, now that he's taken the tile up from the foyer, when you walk on it, it's a half-inch subfloor plywood. It has a flex. So I said, I don't think this is a smart idea to try and put new flooring on this without shoring this up, and I think we should look into how we should do that. So I'm calling for a few things. One is to make sure that I'm not off base here and that we need to shore up this plywood somehow so that it doesn't flex, so that when we go to put a floor over that, it isn't going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're not crazy, because any good finished floor starts with a solid subfloor. So that has to be the first thing that you address.
Okay.
If the goal is to put down a true 3/4-inch, you know, wood floor, whether it's inexpensive or whatever you're going to put down there, you know, it's still 3/4 inch, so you got to be mindful of the finished plane of that flooring. If the subfloor is moving, it's squashy, the plywood's in bad shape, that's got to come up, and we got to put down new subflooring. And then the other thing you need to address is bridging. Bridging is the crisscross braces that you put into the floor to keep the floor joists from flexing. Okay,
right.
When you step on them, what happens to floor joists, depending on the span, they can actually arc a little bit or kind of kick in the bottom. The bridging keeps them straight up and down so that you get the most strength out of it. Hey, Lindsay, you remember a while ago we had a Noodaloo 2. There was a guy, a local guy, that had some product called Easy Bridging, he made an easy product. Bridging typically... floor joists are 16 inches on center, so you got like 14 1/4, 14 3/8 in between them. And a lot of times people will cut the same size joist and slide it in there and nail it. Or, you know, there's a 2x2 that you put in a crisscross and you put a couple nails in. This was a product that was metal. It was designed for it. And it gave you the ability to be able to either install it from above or below. EasyBridging.com. EasyXBridging.com. EasyXBridging.com. It's a local company. You got to look into the bridging, and you got to look into the plywood. That has to be set first. Then you need a vapor barrier.
Right.
Then you need to put your flooring on.
Okay.
Did you say this is your brother-in-law?
No, my brother.
Your brother.
Yeah.
When we get out of this pandemic, he's going to buy you a steak dinner like every week.
I hope so.
And a bottle of Advil.
Yeah. I do have access. This has got a crawl, so we do have access to go underneath there. I was talking to some of my friends, and I'm going over there this morning at 8:30 to start doing at this, mm-hmm. and cutting up this linoleum flooring in the kitchen so that we're all on one level.
Right.
But then there's access underneath this. So I was talking to my friends. He's like, you know, my brother's a pretty big guy. If he steps on that flooring where I noticed this heaving, I can look from underneath and actually see this moving. Is it then, if we get this product or we get some form of bridging and we put this in there and that does shore this up to where this does no longer move, then are we okay with only having the half inch plywood?
You're certain it's half inch? Because that doesn't sound right.
He told me.
It should be. How old is the house? How old is the house?
1970s.
It's got to be 3/4. I highly doubt that it's half inch. But my point is this. If he stands in between two joists and you can see that plywood flex, that plywood's got to be replaced. Or, and in other words, if it's just one area, we're like, wow, that's really soft here, but over here it's fine. Well, you could throw some bridging up underneath there or some framing up there to hold that spot. But remember, which way is the floor going to go? If the flooring is going to go in the same direction as the joists, that flex is going to be there. If you're going to go perpendicular, well, that will help to alleviate that. But a good finished floor, if you got a lousy subfloor, then you got a lousy finish floor, and that's NG, no good. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Mm-hmm.
How old is your furnace? Is it working hard right now? I bet it is. If your furnace is over 15 years old, maybe showing its age, it's a good idea to replace it before it breaks down. I was just talking to my wife about this. I go, you know, our furnace is like 15 years old. And I listen to those ads about Dykstra, and I know what they're talking about. Dykstra Home Services has Carrier 98% efficiency Infinity gas furnaces on sale. 0% financing for 72 months. You can call them at 800-421-3220 or visit WGNHeatingGuy.com. And if you have questions about your furnace or boiler, guess what? Rich Dykstra will be joining Home Sweet Home Chicago this morning starting at 10 a.m., set your alarm.
Have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now is the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would deal with it.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation.
Hey, you know, I forgot to tell you, we were talking to Mike in Lombard, and we're going to send him out a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Maybe you're working remotely, don't have enough room? Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. You know, I realize that I'm the shiny guy, but now Lindsay is so obsessed with coming up with a name for the farm stories that all I'm doing is getting massive texts about, how about this? How about this? How about this?
From you?
I could hear her lack of enthusiasm from my
suggestions. Did you hear that? Don said, you can hear your lack of enthusiasm.
I heard it. She's like, oh.
No.
Yeah, no. Farm.
No, I
haven't. I said, whatever we're going to call it, it has to be something we can put on a T-shirt. Like, I'm imagining a black T-shirt with a soil and corn stalks, and then within the corn stalks, there's also people.
I said that sounds like Children of the Corn.
It does.
I've got one.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, Joe?
Agricultural Alliance.
It's a lot of words. It's a lot. It doesn't.
Two words.
How do I put that on a T-shirt?
Agro allies.
Oh yeah. Agro allies.
There you go. Huge fan of alliteration.
Allies. What are we? Bombing Normandy? What is that?
And then you can put AA on the T-shirts.
Well, perfect. That'll be great.
Oh. Hey,
I'm an AA.
Just went off
the list. You all know what this means. It's perfect.
Okay. Turn off their microphones. 877-213-4 Lou. Let's get a quick call in here before we break for news. And let's talk with Margaret, who's in Skokie. Hi, Margaret.
Well, good morning, Lou. I hope you can help me with two important but unrelated questions. The one has to do with I'm going to be needing to get a new roof this summer, and I know you have previously recommended, I guess, a couple of companies, Rogers Roofing and Lindholm Roofing.
Correct.
Now, I'm in my 70s, and all I know is I want to get a roof that is going to last for however long I may continue to live. So I want to make sure that it's done well and whatever needs to be done. What do I need to be concerned about or make sure that the company does and checks out? Plus the fact I have leaf guard gutters, is that something I need to be concerned about if I'm getting a new roof put on?
No. Okay. Start from the back end. With your leaf guard gutters, your new roofing contractors, obviously you will, when you get the bids from them, you'll say, hey, I paid a fortune for these gutters. Don't mess them up. And they won't.
Okay.
Okay. So that's key. This is something I want you to keep in the back of your mind. The average life of a roof in the U.S. is 13 years. Now, I say that, but I want you to take it with a grain of salt. When you look at these different shingles, all of the manufacturers will tell you, oh, you get a 35-year warranty, you get a 35, you know, four. They start at 35 or 25, and you think, wow, that's amazing. But keep in mind that that is for the material, and let's just, almost every roofing company has had some sort of hiccup along the way, you know, manufacturer, and then maybe 5-7 years down the road, there's some problem with the roofing, and you say, hey, oh yeah, we're going to replace it, lady, but they prorate it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is they hand you a check for $500 and say, here you go, that's part of the warranty, go get it fixed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to do this, talk to the roofing contractor about a certified installation. A certified installation gives you both product and labor for the life, for like a 10-year period or something. Some are even longer. You'll pay a little bit more, but it sounds like you want to make sure that you don't have any hassles.
Right. Now, these two companies that you've recommended, they will
do that.
Offer that?
They will do that. You'll talk to them about that. Also, you're doing a tear-off. We're not doing a re-roof. So we're going to
tear off
the roof. We're going to find any damage that may be there, and we're going to fix any of that damage. You're going to use a winter guard protector like an ice and water shield or ice guard, and you're going to do two rows of it, not just one, two rows of it. And you're going to have them address the ventilation and make sure that that's all in good shape. Both of those companies, Rogers and Lindholm, are very knowledgeable. They do excellent work. And I would get a third bid as well. I would, you know, just to keep everybody honest, okay? There's a terrific website called the NRCA, Nancy Robert Charlie Apple. .net.
Nancy Robert NRCA.
Yep. .net.
Okay.
The National Roofing Contractors Association, and you can get, and they'll be listed on that as well. But you can find other roofing contractors to bid on the project too. That way, you keep everybody honest. Thanks so much for the phone call.
It's Saturday morning. You've got your radio on, and you're tuned in to Lou. Here he is now, right here on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. All right, this time of year, you might not be thinking about your deck, but if you're putting ice melt on there, you want to make sure you're taking good care of it. But if you're thinking about building a new one, well, I've got a different choice of a product that you may want to consider. Joining me on the phone line right now is Tori Smichel. She is the product manager with a company called Moisture Shield. Tori, good morning. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me a little bit about your company and what it is you guys make. You're actually part of a larger company that makes a lot of building products.
We are. So Moisture Shield offers composite decking, railing, and accessories. And we're actually a division of Old Castle APG, which is North America's largest manufacturer of outdoor living products. And we're part of a global leader of building supplies, CRH.
Right. So people, if I said to them Sacrete Concrete Mix, that would be your company, that the parent company that creates that stuff as well.
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. We got Sacrete. Belgard is probably another brand you recognize.
Oh, yeah.
And we do everything from pavers to mortars to building envelopes and soil, just a ton of different outdoor products.
Moisture Shield, a composite decking division. You know, there's some bigger names out there in the world, but you have some pretty good technology that maybe people should think about.
Yeah, Moisture Shield really has a product for every situation style, and we can really stand up to the weather. Winter is definitely here, so So if you're planning to install a deck this spring, like many homeowners are, it's a perfect time to step up to a composite deck. And our products are made in the USA, and they're proven in the field with more than 30 years of zero structural failures. And we even back our products with a 50-year transferable structural warranty just to give homeowners added peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. That transferable warranty is such a big one. A lot of homeowners, when you're looking at installing one of these products, I mean, typically, you know, when you get into composites, you're spending a little bit more money up front because the manufacturing process and how it's made. But the overall longevity and how you care for it and the upkeep, that is dramatically reduced, and so it tends to be a much better investment long term.
Definitely. So we have some research that shows that like a pressure treated deck will last about 9 years if you take pretty good care of it, whereas like we offer a structural warranty that's 50 years long. That just shows you the difference there.
Now, as far as application goes and the actual products that you make, you have a couple of different styles of product, right, that do different things. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we've tackled some of the biggest issues with composite decking over the years. So our Cool Deck proprietary technology is an option with some capped colors, which minimizes heat absorption by up to 35% versus a traditional capped composite board in a similar color, just to give you a more comfortable deck year-round. And our Vision Cap decking has our exclusive diamond defense coating, so it has the strongest cap in the industry to resist stains and scratches and damage. And we recently launched a new color with that Vision line called Cold Brew, and it's a really warm, inviting, kind of medium roast brown with some really subtle color variation. It's really beautiful.
I want to back you up a little bit because I want you to explain what capped means. You know, when you're in this industry, you're like, oh, it's capped. But I think a lot of people, you know, there's still some trepidation out there with homeowners where they're like, ah, you know, that composite, I hear there's all kinds of problems with it. And certainly some manufacturers have had issues, but this capping that you speak of is some technology that not only you have, but others as well. But can you describe what the benefits are of it?
Sure. A capped composite board just has a polymer layer around the top side as well as down the edges just a little bit. So it gives an opportunity for some additional scratch resistance, some additional color variation that we can get into that capped product. So it just has some very different benefits than an uncapped product, which has more of the exposed wood fibers that are in the board. So you'll see some natural weathering with an uncapped, whereas a capped product will maintain its color forever.
That process, the way I understand it, is built into the actual manufacturing of the board, right? It isn't something that, you know, like the board comes out and somebody's out there with a little cobbler's hammer tapping it back on, right? It's sort of fused into it, and which is why you can give such a strong warranty.
It is, yeah. It really becomes a part of the core of the board as well. So the manufacturing process does create a very strong bond with the cap and the rest of the board as well.
And is your product at Moisture Shield, can it be cut and shaped and basically built as if you were building it of wood? Are there any constraints as far as the installation process goes?
So as with any capped product, if you get one of our capped boards, you can cut it any length or make miters if you need to, depending on your deck design.
Mm-hmm.
It's not recommended to route it or rip it just because you will start to interfere with that cap layer, and it's not a very attractive finished edge. The uncapped product, though, you can rip it and route it and do all kinds of different methods to install your deck. And because it is a kind of a solid product all the way through, you won't be able to see any interference with that finished look.
Can you give me an idea about cost, you know, as it pertains to, I know that it varies, obviously, but percentage-wise, you know, if you're comparing it to a wood deck or something, and I realize you have the information about, you know, upkeep and length of time, but it is a little bit more of an investment, correct?
It is more of an investment. So we do have a budget-friendly series called Elevate, that will step you up into a capped composite product. And we do have some other, like our higher end product is our Vision series that offers the diamond defense as well as a 50-year fade and stain warranty. So you do have steps within our product line that kind of get you to different features and benefits and different price points. But I mean, overall, you look at how much time you'd have to spend maintaining a natural wood deck or a pressure treated deck. I think the benefits are really there long term.
Right.
And you'll get just much more enjoyment out of your deck instead of having to stain it or sand it or, you know, spend some time on maintenance.
Right, and I mean the added value too of the fact that you give a warranty on this product, where, you know, if you buy a piece of 5/4 inch, you know, round edge treated decking, you're not getting anything. You're just, you know, here's your wood, go build a deck. Right.
Pretty much, yeah. You get what you get, and then it's up to you to maintain it.
Yeah. Okay, I alluded to this at the beginning. You also provided some tips in the winter months about maintaining your deck, and this is really true of no matter what it's made of, right? Can you share some of those with us?
Sure. So, of course, we recommend a quality composite decking product over wood. Of course, we dig Moisture Shield. So, just one more thing about Moisture Shield that makes us stand out from everybody else is our proprietary solid core that gives you superior protection against the elements. So we actually blend and encapsulate our wood fibers before we build the board. And it really creates an impermeable plastic barrier that fights damage from, like, snow and moisture and ice and rain. And you can actually install our products in the ground, on the ground, or underwater. So definitely a plus if you're in an area that has a lot of winter weather.
Mm-hmm. Give me those winter tips, too, since you gave me all that good information.
Sure. Obviously, moisture can be a deck's worst enemy. So we do have some simple tips just to follow during the wintertime to help give your deck some maximized performance and a longer life. If you store your non-essential furniture and like planners and things to help reduce trip hazards, just because those things can become obscured in snow. And
right.
You know, so safety first for everybody out there. And then remove some the organic debris that builds up, such as leaves, because those can leave tannin spots. The good news is that the tannin spots will tend to fade over time naturally, or you can remove them with a deck cleaner, commonly known as a wood brightener. You can get those at hardware stores. But spring cleaning, just any organic material away, will just save some steps later. As the light snowfall comes in, you can just remove that light snow with a stiff plastic or nylon bristled push broom. For heavier snow, just grab a plastic shovel and work parallel to the boards. Just avoid catching those edges of those boards.
Yeah.
And both options will help prevent an accidental scratch or gouge from a metal shovel or other like ice pick or something that sometimes are used on decks.
Yeah, the plastic blade shovel, that is a good piece of advice, because it will, you know, you don't want to be pounding on that thing, and no matter what it's made of, you don't want to damage it, and that certainly will make a huge difference. All right, so if people want to find out more information about your products, I assume, too, if they go to your website, they'll be able to find dealers that sell the product?
Yeah, definitely. So if you go to moisturefield.com, you'll find some more cleaning tips as well and just general information about our decking products. And you can find our dealer locator tool, which will just tell you where to purchase around your area.
Tori Smichael is the product manager over at Moisture Shield. They make a terrific line of composite decking that you should definitely consider come springtime. Tori, thanks so much for getting up with us this morning. I hope you have a terrific rest of your weekend.
Yeah, great. Thank you, everybody.
What questions around your house are driving you crazy? When do I need to?
I don't know what to do.
Well, before you get to work on your to-do list for the weekend, call Lou.
Is there something I can help you with, Karen?
I hope so.
I'm sorry, we're completely out of time.
He's taking your calls live, right here, right now, on House Smarts Radio.
Back on all the crap I learned in high school.
Welcome back. You know, I know that the weather forecast for all this snow kind of, it's going all over the place, right? There's the European model and whatever. But I will tell you that the fact that we know in advance it's coming, you may have heard me speak about liquid calcium chloride. Liquid calcium chloride is exactly what it sounds like. You buy it in a gallon jug and you put it in a sprayer. And since it's just so cold now, I got to tell you, putting that down prior to the snow event is going to make shoveling so much easier for you. You just put it in a pump sprayer, go out on your sidewalk and spray, or the driveway, and spray a layer of it down. And it'll get absorbed into the substrate there. It's not going to damage anything. But then when it does snow and then the temperature drops, it's going to be way easier to clear that snow. And what's nice about it with the pump sprayer, you don't get it on the grass. Dogs don't get it in between their pads, and so it's a much safer alternative. You still got to wipe their feet off, don't get me wrong, but when they come in. But you don't have to worry about it getting inside there, and it's a really, the snow event coming,
Liquid calcium chloride could be your new best friend. Most hardware stores carry it. There's a brand called Quick Joe that's pretty readily available and easy to use. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is George in Fox River Grove. Hey, George.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a refrigerator freezer with an ice maker that's presenting a little bit of a problem. The problem is that the ice maker works just fine, but when the ice cubes melt, and my wife noticed this, I would never let the ice cubes melt. I just drink whatever I drink and throw the ice cubes away. But anyway, when the ice cubes melt, there's a set of white flakes. I think it's calcium carbonate that's left behind in the water. I took the ice maker out and cleaned it with vinegar and some CLR and stuff like that, thinking maybe it caked up over time. It's probably 5 years old or so, but that didn't bear fruit. I'm wondering what I need to do to see if I can get those white flakes out of the ice once it melts in the water.
Does your fridge have a water dispenser?
Yes, it does.
And do you have a filter?
In the refrigerator, yes.
And when's the last time you replaced that?
I replace it every 3 months.
Because that should also feed your ice maker.
Right. I would assume so, yes. For sure.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm surprised because, do you drink the water from the dispenser?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if you were to fill a glass of water and put it out on the countertop, like with the sun shining in there, it's pretty clear?
Yep. The one thing I was thinking was that we don't especially like the flavor of softened water.
Right.
So what feeds the kitchen sink is not softened water. So I was wondering if I needed to put some kind of a filter on the line between.
Then the water that is fed to the ice maker in the fridge comes from under the sink?
Yes, about 8 feet away.
Yeah. I mean, what doesn't make sense to me is the fact that the water's crystal clear in a glass, and then you're getting that residue in the ice. That's what doesn't make sense to me, and I'm just trying to think of, you know, on a fridge, that's a plastic line coming over that, you know, I guess the easiest thing to do, which is not that easy, but I would probably put an inline filter, which is crazy because, you know, what I would do is you can buy, let's make this a little bit easier on you. 3M makes a cartridge filter that you would mount on the inside of the cabinet. You put the water line into the top, the water line comes out, goes to the fridge, and then that filter is a quarter turn filter that you drop out and it's super easy to replace. The other ones, if you go in line, you know, you've got compression fittings, you got to undo them, and it's, you know, you're spilling water all over the place. These Filtrete ones, if you go to the local, you got an Ace in Fox River Grove, right?
Absolutely.
They should have this in stock. If they don't, they can get it. It's a 3M Filtrete water filter. It's a 3-month filter that if you were to add that, it should improve the flavor. It should eliminate this particulate that's coming through on the and let's test that out and see if that works for you, because other than that it should be fine, and it's just got to be some particulate that's still getting through that filter, and if we have a dual filter system it should work out just fine.
To keep up with the latest trends, special appearances, and seasonal tips, be sure to follow Lou Manfredini and the House Smarts crew on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search Lou Manfredini and House Smarts.
I think that Joe Brand really likes me. Hey, if you're moving out of Illinois and purchasing a home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender. Now, according to United Van Lines, only New York State has more people leaving than Illinois for the 9th consecutive year. Moving into a new home in a new state can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Team Hochberg originates mortgages in states all over the country from their Chicago area offices. In addition to helping you secure a new mortgage, Team Hochberg can recommend one of their trusted realtors who can sell your current home. Now, if you're moving out of Illinois, call Team Hochberg to get pre-approved for a new mortgage. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of WGN listeners secure mortgages after relocating from Illinois, but they cannot help if you do not call 312-855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Tune in to Home Sweet Home Chicago, hosted by David, after House Smarts at 10. Homeside Financial Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 1124061.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Remember this house.
Taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
It was a plan that it worked by hand. Yeah. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. Yeah. It was a love that I was proud of. This is a life, but a life that he planned on the love, the same old love.
Who built it?
The house that Jack built. The house
Welcome
that Jack
back.
Built. Remember this house.
877-2134-LOU. Okay, I think I got the name of the thing. Although Joe had a pretty good one that got texted. Joe, would you like to share with the class?
Yeah, 708, slow clap for you. Moo to you.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Not bad.
Although, but
yes, Moo to Lou 2. Coming up, Moo to Lou 2, and then later on, New to Lou 2.
Because Lou, here's the thing. When you're listening to most songs on the radio, you can replace almost every song, there's a word in there that you can change to Lou, right? You know, like, what's the Wing song? They say heaven sent a silly love song.
Not coming to mind.
Wow.
All that words about a silly love song, and what's wrong with that? I'd like to know, because here I go again. I love...
Lou. That's the song you went to?
It is a popular vowel sound.
Right, right. But there's other ones, too.
It's true.
Anyway, here's the thing. We, you know what? For those, you guys are too young to know this, but a lot of people listening know this. WGN Radio, and Spike Odell used to say this all the time, this is the house that Wally built, okay? Wally Phillips, the famed, amazing, you know, morning personality here at WGN. Long before there was social media, if you weren't listening to Wally Phillips in the morning, you didn't know what was going on in the Chicagoland area, that's for sure. And one of Wally's biggest catchphrases of the time was, people helping people. Right?
It's good.
So that is like a, it's not only an homage to Orion Samuelson, who worked for many years with Wally Phillips, but it's an homage to Wally Phillips and what WGN's all about. WGN's all about. So then, you know, with the well, I want it to always kind of be about the agricultural world, but with the people helping people, you can kind of branch out to do some other stuff too. If all of a sudden there's a fun story about some Girl Scout, you know,
oh yeah,
that did something, right?
Higher ups could not refuse a Wally Phillips Orion combo platter. There's no way.
Exactly. I mean, come on. That is better than a poo-poo platter.
The bait. It's set.
I just can't believe that every window in the house that he built was just shattered by your singing over the airwaves.
I love Lou.
Plus you can sell.
Wait, we really got a good one from Kevin McDonough that I really love.
Yeah? Kevin McDonough, who is sales account executive extraordinaire here at WGN Radio. It is?
Farm to Fable.
Farm to
get it?
Farm to what?
Get Farm to Fable. It's normally Farm to Table, but Fable Story, Farm to Fable. Oh my gosh, Kevin.
Not bad.
He gets a hat.
But wait, doesn't Fable mean a fake story?
Yeah, right.
Ooh,
Fable,
yeah.
Right?
Plus with the Moo to Lou 2, you can sell moo-moos, you know?
I liked it, Kevin.
Ooh, a moo-moo.
Yeah.
See, Don's thinking about the merchandising like me.
Oh,
it's
got
to be on a t-shirt, first of all. And I'm telling you, the people helping people, I see the corn and the people in the cornfield.
Heck yeah.
And maybe a tractor in the background.
Don, I'll have our Agro Allies shirts tomorrow next
week.
Yeah,
nice.
That's going to be like wrapped around. Wait, what does that shirt say? Well, let me turn around. The words on the back.
Right.
Because there's a hyphen under my arm.
The punchline
so
is coming. Just turn around. It's going to be great.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Okay, well, it's a work in progress. By the way, a big shout out to that. One of the things that I'm most proud of is that these stories are researched, put together, and written by my lovely daughter, Carmen, and she's doing a great job. So nice job, Carmen. Thank you very much.
Well done.
877-2134-LOU. 877-2134-568 is our phone number. This is Chris in Evergreen Park. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Lou. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, actually, I'm just driving out to see my dentist guy, Gatone, in Tinley Park, and I thought I'd give you a call because I've been listening forever. And you never steered me wrong with PermaSeal or Dykstra. So we just finished our utility room, and there's no heating connection in there. We have a gas-forced heating, you know, furnace in our house. I was wondering if it's worth the money to put a duct in there, or should I, like, buy some kind of heater for it?
How big is the space?
11 by 10.
And the... And what does it border? Like, in other words, is there... what room is it connected to?
Yeah, so it's in the basement. So it's connected to our basement that's finished off, though. And there's a staircase right above it. And, you know, then there's a kitchen above it and,
where,
and the rest
and,
of the house.
And where and what where is the furnace in relationship to this room?
The furnace is in the basement. It's probably about 20 feet away. It's right, you know, it's probably 20 or 30 feet away from
okay.
it.
Okay, but then my other question is that when you're, so the basement is finished, is the laundry room finished as well?
Yeah.
The ceiling and the ceiling and everything?
Yeah, we have a drop-down ceiling and everything in the basement. And we just finished the utility room, the laundry room, so that's finished also.
Well, is the other part of the basement a drop ceiling too?
Yeah.
Okay. And do the floor joists run in that direction, meaning that could you tap off of a trunk line and then run a small, like, 6-inch ductwork up above the ceiling and then dump it up into that space?
Well, I was doing good with questions since he asked me that one, Lou.
All right. Did you have it finished or did you do it?
No, I had my brother-in-law finish it.
Okay. All right. Well... If the floor joists are in your favor, meaning that they're running in that direction towards the where the laundry room is, you may be able to have, you mentioned Dykstra, they could come and add a little 6-inch round extension off of a trunk line and dump a vent into that room. Now, the thermostat, I assume, is up on the first floor, so you'll be at the mercy of that thermostat, you know, so it may not always be 70 degrees down there, but it won't be 50 degrees, you know what I mean? It'll be in the 60s. The other thing you could do is there are electric in-wall or surface-mounted heaters that you can mount to the wall. Some are, if you have a outlet there, you could plug it in or you could have it hardwired, that have a thermostat built in. And or even an electric baseboard where it's just run it there, you set it on, it turns on and off, turns on and off. While it runs off of electricity, you probably wouldn't use a ton of energy because, you know, it's probably going to be warm enough that all you need this thing to do is take the chill out of the room. And the nice thing about something that's hardwired like that with the thermostat set in, you don't have to worry about anybody kicking it or becoming unplugged or it tips over, whatever it might be. I think that if you did that, it might make the most sense. One of the manufacturers that I like in that realm is a company called Cadet, C-A-D-E-T, and they've been around for a very long time, and they make hardwired either surface mount or in-wall units that probably would be your least expensive option, and I doubt you would even feel much of that on your electric bill, maybe $5 a month or something like that, just to take the chill out of that space. And it may make the most sense for you to do something like that. Thanks so much for the phone call. Thank you so much for listening, and good luck at the dentist. I hope you were brushing and flossing before you went there. All right, we need to take a quick break. It's time to hear from Lindsay about what's new over at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. If you're anything like me and love to prepare meals at home, you know certain foods can really overwhelm the smell in your kitchen. Having a good range hood is essential. Lucky for you, Tom just got 4 new styles in stock. Made of durable stainless steel and tempered glass, these hoods are sleek and functional. Powerful suction, energy efficient, and quiet operation. They're easy to install and available in push-button control or a digital touch control panel. Another must-see item at Builder's Supply Outlet.
Does your pet suffer from joint stiffness, mobility issues, or anxiety? Try Herbal Active Pet Serenity Snacks, enhancing the effects of CBD extract for your pet. They're all natural, they're lab-tested, and THC-free. They have 3 delicious flavors for large and small dogs and cats, too. Go to WGNCBD.com, order today. You'll get 21% off. Just use promo code LU21. Try them out. They have a money-back guarantee. Go to WGNCBD.com, promo code LU21 for 21% off. Go to WGNCBD.com. Change is good. Maybe it's time to change your ride. Look no further than the Chevy Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickup on the road. Chevy Silverado's Drive Mode Selector lets you select tow and haul, snow and ice, or off-road to match any condition. With over 12,000 pounds of available towing capacity, you can haul snowmobiles, trailers, RVs, you name it. Silverado comes with a available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communications, plus all the latest safety features like forward collision alert, lane change alert with side blind zone alert, and front and rear park assist. All the safety and comfort you want in a pickup truck. And right now, you can get $5,500 cash allowance on a 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT Trail Boss. Plus, current Chevy owners get an additional $750 cash, all adding up to big savings. How about you do this? Head on over to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, or just go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Listen, change is good, and now it pays big.
You're listening to Lou and House Smarts Radio.
Like, I'm asking 1,000 questions of the dentist. It's a lot like carpentry.
He's taking your calls about anything you've got going on around your house.
Like, I think that had I thought this through, I could have done this as a career.
Yikes! Get that drill away from me. Back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 877-2134-LOU. To the phone lines. This is Chris in Elmhurst. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lou. I'm excited to talk to you.
Me too. I've been waiting for your call all morning.
Good. Well, I'm finally here. We have a backsplash that is a flagstone in the kitchen. And next to the oven, it's actually a side splash because the burners are next to the I don't know how to explain this, except that we have a horrible scorch mark where my son has chosen to stir fry with greasy fry pans that splatter, and so it's grease and probably red sauce and other things that have scorched onto the flagstone. And I was wondering if you had any kind of chemical that you could recommend to remove that.
Oh my gosh, I do, and I think you're going to be amazed by this, and I think it'll do a really nice job. I spoke about this earlier this morning. I don't know if you were listening, but... you know, the show starts at 6, okay? I still have 2 kids in college. If you could please set the alarm, get up at 6, it'd be really helpful. No, I'm kidding. You sleep late. I want everybody to sleep late. On Saturdays, you should just wake up when you wake up. That's the best thing, right? Like on Sunday,
okay.
On Sunday mornings, you know, I always tell myself that I'm gonna stay in bed till 8, and I never do. I wake up at before 7. I don't know why. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Well,
what were we talking? Oh, this is not about me. This is about you. Okay, Superzilla. Superzilla.
Okay.
It's a lightweight oil, but it's also this amazing cleaner. And you're going to find it at Ace Hardware, and you're going to spray it on. You're going to wait 10 minutes. You're going to wait. Actually, what's the name of the son with the stir fry?
Andrew.
Andrew is going to spray this onto the wall.
Yes.
Then Andrew's going to wait 10 minutes, and he's going to scrub it, and it's going to start to come off, and then you're going to take a damp rag to wipe it off, and maybe you got to spray it again a couple times, but the key is going to be with a nylon brush to kind of work it all out of there, and then wipe it away with a damp rag, and then the next time he wants to make mugu gai pan, he's going to be very careful so that he doesn't have to clean it again.
Okay, so that was the other thing, is I have a feeling it is going to happen again, even if he is very careful. So I can just reapply this. I can do this again.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do. You know, I mean, you don't want to put anything over it because it's just going to, you're not going to like how it looks or anything like that. So actually.
Right.
The thing is, you'll with the Superzilla, it'll be a really good thing to clean it. It may you said it's like a flagstone.
Yes.
Does it extend down a little bit, like under the stove area? In other words, I would like you to try this to see, just to make sure this doesn't do a little discoloration of the stone, because it might make the stone look a little darker.
Okay. Well,
it's going to look better than it looks now, for sure.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Okay.
Right.
But yes, I can find an area of that to do a test.
That's spray it on. Problem. Andrew sprays it on. 10 minutes. He scrubs it, wipes it with a clean rag, and I bet it'll look a heck of a lot better.
All right. I'll get him over here. I'm so thrilled. Thank you so much for your help.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling. Mugu gai pan. When's the last time you said those words? I don't even know what it is. It's just fun to say. Mugu gai pan.
What is how that? Do you even know how to say that? That's very impressive.
I just remember it from something. It's some Chinese dish. Mugu gai pan. I wish I knew what it was. Okay. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. You know, the problem is when you type in these names with those mittens on, that's why I can't see. Hi, this is Jay in Wheaton. Hey, Jay.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Jay? What's going on?
Not bad. I've got a question regarding a sub pump. I've got a sub pump in my basement for my washing machine. My sewer feeds out, you know, above the foundation floor level. In other words, it's not below the floor. So I have to have a sub pump to obviously push out the water for the washing machine. Looking to replace the sub pump, I had PermaSeal actually come out, and they replaced my foundation sub pump, you know, for the foundation, put it in a whole new pit, did a great job. When I went to have them do the pit for the washing machine, they indicated, well, it has to be vented. Which, I don't know, typically do communities offer any kind of variance? I mean, for me to try and create a vent to feed to the stack, you know, the common stack for the house that, you know, goes out the top of the roof, I mean, I'd have to go up to my floor, rip out my one powder room
Wait, Jay, let me stop you a second. It's not a sump pump. This pump that's in the pit does pump it into your sewer line, correct?
Yes, it does.
It does. And so, but right now, that pump, that lid is not vented. It's not sealed.
The lid is, it's got a sealed lid on it. You know?
Right.
But it has no vent stack on it. And according to the folks at PermaSeal, they're saying, well, according to Wheaton code, if I'm going to update that pit, I have to vent it, which it's just gray water. I don't understand why I got to vent it.
Yeah, well, the reason they do that is just because when you put a pit in like that with that's injected from a code thing, you know, if you ever were to add a bathroom, you'd be like, oh, I'm just going to put it in there, but now it's not vented. But if it pipes, when that pipe comes out of that pit, where does it go? Don't you...
Goes across the ceiling and feeds to the pipe that goes to the sewer. Because the sewer pipe runs along the basement ceiling, goes over to towards the front of the house, drops down about, probably 5 feet and then exits out to the street, and that line
you,
is
okay, but
probably.
But do you see that pipe? When that pipe goes up, or is it up buried in the ceiling somewhere? My point is, venting it, you just got to get to the other side of where that stack is to be able to vent up above it. I mean, to vent that lid the right way. I understand you don't want to do it, but it's the right thing to do, just so you don't have any problems with it. I mean, will it work like you have it right now? Absolutely. Is it against code and really should
be updated?
I think running the new PVC pipe for the venting is not that difficult of a fix, and I think that if you just think about it, it's not that expensive. Even if you had to have a plumber come do that, then you know it's done right. Someday when you go to sell that house, I promise you, it'll come back to bite you because they're going to notice that, and it's going to cost you money then. And why have all those problems? Just get it done, in my opinion. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, when we come back, it's time for our New to Lou 2, a great way to stay organized, sponsored by our friends over at Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You know, a lot of people have been talking about the fact that Hank Aaron passed away, and while I'm not a huge sports fan, I was at an event years ago, and it was a book signing of like some baseball book. And I was invited there because the publisher was somebody that I was working with. And I went to this event, and I had this nice conversation with a bunch of different people. And I met this couple of people, and I was talking with them. And then when I got done, after talking maybe about 10, 15 minutes, somebody said, "Do you know who that was?" And I said, "I think the guy said his name was Hank." And it was Hank Aaron. And I spent probably 10 minutes along with a group of other people talking to this gentleman about he was a baseball player, but he never said his last name, and I didn't know it. He's a lovely person for that, 10 or 15 minute conversation that we had. So kind of an interesting little Hank Aaron connection there.
That's very cool that you got a moment with him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He was great. I mean, just, and you know what the thing is that I think with anybody that is, and I certainly know the impact that Hank Aaron had on sports and on blacks, African-Americans in the league and all that stuff. But in that 10 minutes, he was just this guy named Hank, and he was just this lovely person. You know what I mean? Everybody's just people, right?
Right.
Pretty cool.
It is.
I've got somewhat of a similar story. I went to Cooperstown back in 2002, and we're just walking down the street, and there's this man walking in front of me, and he goes and just extends his pointer finger to point at something across the street, and this cop is walking in the opposite direction, and the guy almost like kind of hits the cop in the face by pointing, and the cop is about to turn around and say, like, "Hey, you know, kind of watch where you're going," and then he stops himself and then just keeps on walking. And then I cross the street, and then I see a swarm of people go around this guy that had his hand out. And I'm like, "Oh my God, that was Reggie Jackson."
No way.
I was just right behind him. And I was 12 years old at the time, so I didn't recognize him right away. And it's just, like you said, another person just down the street. It's really cool to be in Cooperstown, especially around when they have the induction ceremony, because there's just so many Hall of Famers just walking around.
Yeah.
It's a very, very cool environment
to
be in.
Just another guy who almost poked a cop in the eye.
Yeah. I'll never forget it, too. The guy turns around, like, ready to give him a piece of his mind, and he's like, "I'm just going to keep walking."
That's good. All right, it's 8:40 in the morning. It's time now for our New to Lou 2, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hey, when you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
The past few weeks, we've shared some New to Lou 2 items that keep your home office space looking tip top and tidy. We've got another one for you this week that we think you're going to like. Mobins are wall-mounted storage bins that come in different sizes, small to large, that allow for one-handed access to tilt, open, and even pop out. They're a super versatile way to store office knickknacks that take up space and can make things look messy, like paperclips, thumbtacks, but you can really use them anywhere you need a little organization in your life. Think craft supplies, small toys, hardware, spices, and the bins are clear so you can easily see what's inside. You can get single rows of the Mobins coming in 6, 8, or 10. Or you could double up the rows, triple up the rows, or even quadruple up. They also offer Mobin to Go that offers 30 Mobin containers. How many times can I say Mobin? That come in a foldable case that can be mounted or folded to carry on the go. The Mobins begin at $29.95 and up, depending on how many of these little guys you need. You can find them on the Grommet, Wayfair, and I'll link you up to all of those and put up a picture on Lou's Facebook page and Instagram page. So get moving and go check out Mobins.
That's this week's
So it reminds me of the, like, what us old people used to do is we would take mason jars and take the lids of the mason jar and nail that up under the piece of wood, and then you would screw the mason jar into the lid. See what I'm saying?
I am, but could you tilt it out?
No, no, no. So this is like a clip. So I kind of like the fact that you've got this, you kind of just go click, click, click. You're not like, when you're loosening it up, you're like, oh, is it loose? And then you drop it all, or it's glass or whatever. But these are smaller, and they're kind of cool. I mean, it's all about being organized, right? I like the whole spices idea. You know, the spice rack, the spice thing is just a complete disaster. I know there's all kinds of stuff out there, but the problem is all the spices come in different sizes. Right?
Lou.
Right?
Preach. Yes.
Yeah. So that would be a cool thing where you could mount this on the back of the cabinet. Right? How much paprika do you need? You know, I mean, you don't need a paprika the size of a softball.
Well, they're not that small. I mean, it's still, you'd have a lot of paprika if you filled the whole jar with
that. Correct. Or, like, we have so much celery salt, it's unbelievable. It's like I have more celery salt. I could rub my body down in it as like a therapeutic. I have so much.
You got to have like a hot dog festival or something.
Yeah, well, it's really good on a Sunday morning Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh.
Love it.
Love it. Oh. Mobins. What's it called?
Mobins.
Mobins. Put your celery salt in it and get cracking. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Roger, who's in Jefferson Park. Hey, Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
What's going on,
sir? How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
I have an electrical problem. I have three lights in my family room that are on a dimmer switch. And when I turn on the light full force, one of the lights doesn't come on for about 6 seconds later. These are ceiling lights. They're old ones. They're the square ones with the silver plate up at the top.
Oh.
And if I turn it down to where I want it just, you know, not too bright, the one light goes completely off.
Do you know, do you remember what type of light bulbs you have in those fixtures?
I have LEDs in there now.
All right. And you recently replaced those?
Yes.
Okay.
Within the last 6 months or so.
Okay, but you did not replace the dimmer?
No.
Okay, so your problem is you had conventional lights in there before. With LED bulbs, you have to change the dimmer to what's called a universal dimmer. It is, it's it's hit or miss with a dimmer on LED bulbs. Sometimes it works, most of the time it doesn't, and so if you go to the hardware store and you look at the type of device you have now, you will see that it'll say universal dimmer, and you'll most likely see a picture of a regular light bulb, a CFL, which nobody uses anymore, and LEDs. And so when you switch that out to a universal dimmer, you will solve that problem.
Well, the other two bulbs are the same.
I understand, but because because the dimmer, this is why, like, those two work and the other one doesn't. It's, remember that you know, the there's something called a driver that's in the light bulbs on an LED bulb that cause it to work. And if the voltage coming off of that non-universal dimmer is inconsistent, which it is, then the one bulb, maybe because of the length of the wire going to it, or if it's, you know, if it's pigtailed off to another fixture, it's not getting the same signal of electricity, or voltage rather, than the other ones are, which is why it's wonky. When you go to the universal dimmer, it compensates for that. It's actually a piece of electronics in there. The other thing that's very common, though, too, that I want you to be aware of, is that many times, even with these universal dimmers, when you shut the lights off, you'll still see a little bit of a glow as that electronic dimmer almost still is energized, and it takes a little bit for it to go, cut itself off before the lights go dark. And sometimes it can be 60 seconds or so that you may still see that.
Gotcha.
Universal dimmer will solve all your woes, sir.
Just wanted to say it's a pleasure to listen to you every Saturday.
Oh, you're kind,
it
man.
It wouldn't be the same without Saturday, without your voice.
That's so kind of you to say. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great day. And
hey, I hear you. Sometimes it's tough to keep up with what Lou's talking about.
Okay, but the diatomaceous earth, you can actually use that in gardens. I want you to buy a product called Concrobium Mold Control.
Concrobium.
Well, let me tell you, sometimes he has a hard time keeping up with us, too.
You listen to Lou Ferdinandini on Smart Radio.
Come on, Lou, keep up. What he said. You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Break it down again.
Good morning. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. Thanks so much for listening and spending your Saturday mornings with me here on WGN Radio. Stay tuned for Home Sweet Home Chicago coming up after 10 o'clock this morning. This is Joanne in Lake Zurich. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Quick question. Good, good. Quick question. We have our fireplace, a brick fireplace that we're trying to spruce up, and it has a limestone hearth, which has just gotten dirty over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said we could sand it down to clean it. We've tried muriatic acid years ago. It didn't work that great. So
let's do this.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, so the limestone is super porous. You can sand it. What will end up happening is when you do sand it, you'll get a very smooth finish, right? Because you're basically creating a countertop is what you're going to do. But before you do that, how about you get some spick and span, which is sodium. It's a cleaner, but it's also a sodium carbonate. In the old powdered spick and span, mix it with some warm water. And then where this hearth is, what's the flooring around it? Is it carpeting? Is it wood? What is it?
It's wood.
Okay. So I want
you. But it's high up. It's high up the hearth. It's not down on the floor.
But let's get some like a couple of disposable plastic drop cloths. Place that around the floor and tape it down with some painter's tape. Just because what I'm going to ask you to do is you're going to make a little bit of a mess. You're going to put a little bit of this on with a sponge, and you're going to get a nylon scrubbing brush on the end of a cordless drill, okay? But also, at the hardware store, when you buy that, they're called drill brushes, basically. But I also want something that's slightly more aggressive. There is a wire brush that you can put on the end of your drill that's a cup. It looks like a cup, not a wheel. Okay. So when you're holding the drill, if you can imagine if you're drilling a hole with a drill, right? You're holding the drill up and down, which is the same thing you're going to do with the brush. So I would go with the brush first with the spick and span. Okay. And it's going to work up into a kind of a froth, and then let it sit there for 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Go have lunch. And, then come back, scrub it again. And see how you do with the nylon brush. If you're like, wow, this is working, but if I could just get in there a little bit more, then you put that wire brush on the end of it and you really finish it off. After that, okay, when we're done, if it looks great, you're golden, right? If it doesn't, then you can try the sanding. And then if I was going to do that, what I would do is, you won't have to sand as much either. Use a pad sander, like a quarter sheet vibrating sander, or even a random orbit sander would be great.
with a 80 grit paper and just sand it all down, kind of get the edges, get a little shop vac or vacuum with a hose, whatever it might be, to kind of clean it up along the way. But you'll bring it back to life for sure.
Great. Okay. Right. Thank you so much for your help.
You're more than welcome. Thank you so much for calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU is the number. This is Chuck in St. Charles. Hey, Chuck, good morning.
Morning.
How may I help you, sir?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So, we lit a fireplace in our new house, and the first 30 seconds we got some smoke back in. The damper was open for the flue, and so I was kind of confused, but then I realized it might be a sealed house, negative pressure, stuff like that. What are your thoughts?
Did you do this yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just last night.
So the reason is it's so cold. And does this brand new fireplace have a gas log lighter?
No, it was actually gas, and we had it had a leak, and so we just removed the gas and went back to wood.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing. When it's this cold outside and you have not had a fire, that chimney is so cold that there's just no opportunity for draft. It's as you light that fire and it starts to make its way up, it hits that cold, and it's like there's a top on there and it can't get out. Okay.
It just sinks back down.
Well, right. And so the key there is you have to start really small. Okay. So that it can warm itself up. So if you're going to wood, this is what I would recommend for anybody with a wood burning fireplace, that as we get super cold like this, this is always, not always going to happen. It really depends on the design and whatnot. But are you familiar with a fire starter called fat wood?
I am not. We have little like pucks that look like candle wax.
Okay. All right. So you could use those too. So if you put that there, I want you to put that in the fire and light that.
Just that.
And let that run for, you know, light that so it's a little bitty, tiny little flame, you know, not much bigger than a candle, but let that go for 5 minutes or so. And then put a couple of small boards on top of that to kind of, you need to grow it slowly so that the heat goes and it starts to warm itself up. The problem is if you go too big too fast, it just won't create the draft.
Okay. Makes sense.
It's all in the draft.
What's your thoughts?
Go ahead.
Yep. What's your thoughts on those, the dampers that, spring loader ones that they close at the top instead of the bottom?
Well, I mean, they're awesome for, you know, cold weather like this. You just got to remember to open and close them.
Well, yeah, but yes.
No, I absolutely love them. It's something you could contact the folks at Lindeman Chimney. You go to cleanfireplace.com and they'll be able to help you out with that. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break and we'll be back after this.
Oh, I like the Calypso music. Hey, did you know that PermaSeal Basement System has been creating dry basements and stable foundations for Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana homeowners since 1979? Hey, it's me, Lou Manfredini here. Over 400,000 homeowners have trusted my friends over at PermaSeal to provide them the peace of mind that comes with a dry basement and crawl space and a structurally sound foundation. And so can you. This month, they're celebrating their 42nd anniversary by giving the gift of savings to you. Now, until the end of January, you'll receive 10% off up to $500 or pay over 24 months with 0% interest charges on any of their products and services, whether it's waterproofing, backup pumps, crawl space encapsulation, concrete raising and leveling, or even structural repairs. You'll save money and keep your home dry, healthy, and structurally sound. Start the year off right. Take care of your largest investment, your home. Take advantage of this great offer and call PermaSeal today at 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net to schedule your free inspection. PermaSeal, truly known best for being better.
You know what
what is a really amazing thing is modern plumbing.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I'm sitting on the couch, and Max had some friends over, and we have a powder room on the first floor, and this young man like, oh, Mr. Manfredini, where's your bathroom? Well, it's right through the door there.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
The young man goes in there, and so then I start thinking about modern plumbing.
He's always thinking.
And I'm thinking to myself, we really take modern plumbing for granted.
Outside the... Lou.
This kid probably really regretted asking.
No. I just...
Do you have any idea how lucky you are?
Yeah.
And you, too, are the lucky ones, because he's taking your calls right here, right now.
Modern plumbing is something to marvel at.
Now back to Lou.
You walk into a bathroom right now, and it doesn't smell.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
You two still make me laugh. Welcome back. 9-11 in the morning, 877-2134-LOU. Okay, I think I got it. Kevin, once again, sent us something. Account exec extraordinaire here at WGN Radio. Tales from the Hay Bales.
I like that.
That's not bad.
Right?
Okay, but wait, can I... this is my last one, and if it doesn't...
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Heartland Heroes.
Heartland Heroes. I like that, too. Well, she didn't like that. See, I was thinking, what about people helping people? So look at the T-shirt. Black T-shirt. Up at the top, right at the collarbone, people helping people, a giant hay bale, tales from the hay bales. But Lindsay doesn't like it. She's like,
She doesn't like either?
I'm picturing it. I don't know.
The people helping people, the homage to Wally Phillips.
Lindsay, I don't feel bad for Lou asking how we are today before you anymore. It's hard to please you today.
Right? Believe me. Try working with the woman every day.
Hey!
Zing.
Okay.
Because somebody did text in Tales from the Heartland, and I was thinking Homestead Heroes, but then...
Tales from the Heartland.
I liked Heartland
you
Heroes.
You know, the thing, here's the thing, right?
I like Tales from the Heartland.
Here's the thing that's
better
kind of
than Tales from the Hay Bales?
What about planting?
Okay, here's my thing. If chicken planting. Soup for the farmer's soul wasn't taken...
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
If chicken soup wasn't taken, I would take that.
Here's the thing that I think...
But it's already like a thing.
You guys keep talking. I'll just be good.
Sorry,
okay.
Whose show is this?
Please continue.
Here's the thing. The thing is that we just got to make the stories good. Then it really doesn't matter what you call it. Like, for instance, you know when you go to the internet to search something, it's called Google. What the heck is that?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? When they first named that, right? Hey, I got this idea for a computer company. Let's call it Apple. You know what I mean? It's like, if the stories are good, we can call it anything we want.
I don't know. I think a wise man once said, always judge a book by its cover.
One of the first conversations we had this morning, hours ago, was we were talking about crickets and how I didn't want to eat crickets. Like, I'll eat just about anything. And then we brought up Mugu Gai Pan, which you sent a picture of. It looks delicious.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever get to go to a Chinese restaurant, I'm ordering that. Don has an update on the cricket world.
Yes, I do. So I looked into that because I remember we mentioned it, and I knew that there was a stadium somewhere that was serving it. It is the Seattle Mariners Stadium, T-Mobile Park. They serve dehydrated grasshoppers seasoned.
Dehydrated grasshoppers, like on a Sunday? Or like in a like you would buy it like French fries?
Like French fries. Yeah, like French fries. And a little, they had a picture of it. It's like a little.
Oh, so there's multiple?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can see like one for the novelty.
Looks like there's a case
of
like 10. Yeah.
So like I'm walking around with a thing that looks like a French fry thing, and I'm dipping them in like cricket sauce?
Yeah, there's some kind of sauce that comes with it. They're obviously like darker and... strangely shaped. There's also, for the record, there's a website I'm looking at, bugsalutely.com/insect restaurants. And there's a whole list in the U.S., West Coast and East Coast restaurants. We've got one that sticks out in my mind here in Texas, cheese paired with fried pork belly, guacamole, and a, quote, trio of insects.
Yeah,
I'm not eating that. Sounds like a bug's life.
Yeah.
No,
Wicked Spoon yogurt, chocolate-covered crickets as toppings.
Yeah.
See, like, I understand one for the novelty of it. No.
Right, like, I ate a cricket. Yeah. I ate a cricket. I'm out.
Now you got to finish the other nine.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
How about we call the farm story just crickets? We'll just call it crickets, like apple, like we were saying before. We'll call them cricket stories.
I think we need a cricket sound effect right now.
Yeah, I know.
It's not bad.
Ooh, good one. Like it, good yeah. one, Joe.
But yeah, there's clearly a lot of options if you like bug dishes. There's places to go in the U.S.
Thank you.
Are you
there
frantically looking for that?
You're
I knew it.
I knew I had it.
sounds so tasty.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not
going to
do that. Yeah,
it'd take a lot.
All right, crickets. No, we're not going to call it crickets. All right, we'll come up with that. We just got to keep making the stories good, and that'll be fine. So thank you, gentlemen. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines now. This is Chris, who's in Huntley. Hi, Chris, you're on WGN.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. What's going on, sir?
I've got a multi-part furnace question for you today.
Okay.
I have a Carrier high-efficiency furnace, which is about 15 years old and a constant source of anxiety for me over the years. I can always hear the inducer motor go on, which is fine. I can always hear the gas valve click on, which is fine. But today's issue is that when the gas valve clicks on, there are times that it will click off, pause for those few lockout seconds, and then try to click back on. And then sometimes it'll energize and pass gas through the valve. Other times it will just kind of cycle off, and then I can hear the inducer motor turn off. It stops for a few minutes to go through its, I guess, ventilation cycle, and then tries it again. Sometimes it brings the heat on. Other times it just has that clicking sound, and the gas isn't really getting to where it's got to go. Any thoughts on if that would be a bad gas valve or if there's some other kind of issue?
Well, I mean, based on what you're describing, it sounds like a limit issue, right? There's all these different limit switches within modern furnaces now that kind of, you know, I've described it like this. You know, 30 years ago, furnaces, maybe actually more than 30 years ago, I'm getting old, but you know, the thermostat said, hey, it's cold here, my old mercury thermostat, it's, you know, you have it set at 70, and the mercury thermostat had waited until it was like 5 degrees below what you had it set at, and they would send a signal down to the furnace and say, hey, it's cold up here, turn the gas valve on and the burner kicks on and then you have heat. Now modern furnaces, you know, even non-high efficiency furnaces go through, you know, tens of different cycles before the heat goes on, you know, as a way to make sure that the inducer, the draft is there, whatever, gas valve, all this other kind of stuff. But there's limits. In other words, if it doesn't sense that it's turned on, it'll shut itself down. Let me ask you this. Your furnace filter, what do you have?
Just one of the standard, I think this last time I put in like one of those regular thin pleated filters.
Okay. And when's the last time you put that in?
Probably about a month ago.
Okay. And
yeah, so it's not clogged and dirty at all.
You did physically check that?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that, you know, a lot of times when that filter gets clogged and the system can't breathe, that can be a source of a limit where the blower will run, but it won't ignite the flame because it's not... doing that. There's other sensors. There's flame sensors inside of a furnace. That's one of the most common things this time of year, is that a flame sensor is dirty or needs to be replaced. You know, the fact that you're hearing and clicking and that kind of stuff, I mean, that's, you know, if you've sat in a laundry room or a mechanical room, you'd hear all that stuff for sure. Hopefully you're not hearing that when you're up on the first floor because it shouldn't be that noisy. But all of those items...
It is a little noisy.
Is it really? Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is, at 15 years old, within the industry, that's kind of that magic hour when it comes to a furnace, right? That if you're going to have a major overhaul of like, hey, you know, your motherboard is this, or you need a new inducer motor, or maybe the blower motor's no good, and all of a sudden you spend $300 here and $400 here and $600 here, then you have to really ask yourself, is this the best use of my money, or should I just put something modern that, you know, is more efficient than what I have, has a new warranty that I could take advantage of, and that's just a question of budget and what you're comfortable with doing. My guess is it's something simple like a limit switch or a dirty flame sensor. Do you do any of this work yourself, or do you normally hire somebody?
If it's something like a limit switch or the flame sensor, I'm more than capable of taking a look at that myself. Okay. So yeah, I can.
Have you looked?
Have access to parts?
Have you looked at the flame sensor?
I have not yet.
All right. So you know, when you look, you got to shut the system down, and it's typically one or two screws holding it in place by one of the burners that, you know, essentially it tells the system that the burner is kicked on. And if that gets dirty, many times what, you know, contractors will do, they'll take that all apart. They'll take a little wire brush gently and kind of clean it off a little bit, but it becomes very brittle over time. So don't be surprised that as you're cleaning it, all of a sudden you snap it, right? And so then if it's that brittle, then you probably need to replace the whole thing. And it literally is plug and play. You got to get the right one for your system, but that's where I would start. If that's not it, or it's a limit switch or something like that, you may just need some professional help to come and take a look at this thing. And then really ask yourself the question, you know, how much money am I going to throw after this whole thing?
Yeah, well, you've actually tied me into my next question, because over the years I've replaced several inducer motors and things that I'm getting kind of done with this, and we're kind of hoping to get it through winter and change everything out in the spring.
Right.
So would you go ahead and replace it with another high efficiency, or would you go back to the old school with a lot less moving parts? And then based on that answer, I guess, which brand would you recommend?
So I am a proponent of high efficiency forced air systems. I am not a proponent of high-efficiency boilers. Now, that doesn't apply to you, but that's just kind of my two cents about all that. When it comes to furnaces, I think that they've got that all figured out. My experience with high-efficiency boilers has been nothing but problematic, and I don't know that the added benefit of that really negates the extra money. But for you, in a furnace like that, the expectation... Chris, is that whomever you sell that house to down the line, they're going to expect the high efficiency furnace, and you're going to get your money out of it. You know what I mean? And the thing is, the pricing, while it is more than a conventional furnace, it isn't the spread in that number is not as big as it used to be. But the thing you have to know about high efficiency furnaces, they're not workhorses, they're thoroughbreds. So they need a little TLC. They need to be wiped down. They need to be inspected. They need to be cleaned. If you do all of those things, okay, especially from day one, then that 15-year thing that I talk about, you easily can stretch to 20 because you're maintaining it well.
Okay.
And then when you look at the overall cost of the unit, you know, and the life expectancy of it, that I think that that is a clear expectation for you. Is like, hey, if I'm going to invest in this, and when it comes to brands, Carrier still makes a fine unit. I know you have one now that's problematic, but that would probably be my top two are a Carrier or Train units, and I would swap either one of those out as far as the quality of the units. Bryant basically is a Carrier with parts and everything in there, so I mean that you can put those three kind of together. But even ones like American Standard, which is also a Train product, you know what I mean? Everything's under the cloak of these major manufacturers, but they share a lot of parts. But the single most important thing has less to do with the quality of the equipment, but the people that are putting it in. And so if that installer doesn't have a ton of experience and you can't get a bunch of third-party endorsements from people about, oh my gosh, I love these guys, they did a great job, all that kind of stuff, that to me, you know, they can put the best piece of equipment in, but if they put it in upside down, which is not out of the realm of possibility, it's just not worth the investment. Mm-hmm. A clean home is a healthy home. Call Executive Green Carpet Cleaning. Schedule your carpet cleaning in January, and you'll get three rooms clean for just $114. Come on. That is such a deal. Winter is a great time to get it done, too. The crisp, cool air will help you dry your carpet even faster. When it's cold out like it is today, they'll use a seal-a-door system to keep the cold out and the warm air in. These people are fantastic. They do excellent work. Call them, 630-990-8600, or schedule online at wgnclean.com. 877-213-4LU is our phone number. Let's talk to Lucy real quick in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Luce.
Hi, Lou. How are you today?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I have
we're installing a pre-owned washer and dryer stackable, and the pipe that comes out of the back for the gas, is there a way to remove that and put another pipe on it that has a right angle on it? Because where the gas line is, it has to... I'm getting an echo. I'm sorry.
You mean the pipe that's coming out of the washer and dryer itself?
Yes. Yeah. Do you know how to remove that?
So if you go into the back of that washer and dryer, that pipe should be coming off of a regulator, the gas regulator that is on the unit itself. So you can either take that pipe off and then get a new pipe and then put a right angle on it, or you can add a 90-degree elbow on the back of that pipe that's there. Is that possible?
We didn't see that that was possible.
Well, but the pipe is coming. There's a gas pipe that's coming out, and is it essentially flush with the back of the unit?
Let me look real quick. Let me get that here. I don't believe it is. No, it sticks out about maybe 3 inches.
Okay, and the problem, and you need it to go 90 degrees.
Correct.
Is that threaded right there? That end of that pipe, is it threaded?
Yes. Well, I can see the thread.
Okay, well then you just put a 90-degree elbow on that and put some pipe dope or, you know, pipe thread dope on there. Tighten that up so it goes the way you want it to go, and then you put your flexible gas connector to the gas line.
Right. Some reason they said they couldn't. It's my brother that's helping me do this, and he's not here right now. That wasn't going to work. He was going to have to actually remove pipe that comes out of the...
You can remove that pipe, but if the pipe is sound, you know, and it's sealed, I don't think you need to. I think you just need to put a 90-degree on the end of that thing, and you should be good to go. Good luck with that, and be careful. We're talking about gas line. You need to test all that, make sure it doesn't leak. Thanks so much for the phone call.
He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
You know how everybody's talking about the progressive commercials? I heard Kevin Powell putting brackets together for what the best lines are with the, the progressive, like, we all see it, you know, that whole thing, which is funny. The other one that I really like I saw the other night is, I don't know what it's for, but it's the rap group, you know, Scoop, there it is, and they're doing ice cream. You know, and they're the two guys from that group are doing it. Scoop, there it is.
Chaka-laka, chaka-laka.
Chaka-laka. And the woman starts dancing, and the young couple comes in, and then the one guy kicks it in, and the girl's so embarrassed, she just turns and walks away. That is so funny. It is so funny.
There's a handful of progressive MP3 clips here in the sports computer.
Oh my gosh.
Kevin Powell is probably chopping them all up.
Right, he's chopping them all up. But then the other thing I was listening to John about, and then hopefully Steve Alexander's listening, I was talking about your new show that you're going to watch on Netflix, which, by the way, is the number one streaming show on Netflix right now. Lupin, or as they say in French.
You're going to say that too.
Lupin.
Right. Lupin.
L-U-P-I-N. I think it's Lupin. Okay? John was like, I didn't like it. He's like a little snooty about it. It's only 5 episodes. Trust me, Steve Alexander, if you're listening, please start watching it. You're going to like it. You got to let yourself go, right?
And this is the actual name of the show. This isn't just a way to incorporate your name into something else.
No, but that would be good. It would be good. It is. And the thing that I mentioned about this last week was the fact that I watched the first episode and I said, you know, the one thing I don't like about it is it's based in France.
Oh, that's right.
It's based in France and they're not speaking French. When in they just redubbed it all with English language, and they did it so well that for that alone, it's worth it. It's cool.
I got to see that just to see the language, the dubbing.
Yeah. And, you know, John's going how much he doesn't like it. And I guess Netflix now is releasing, like, how what people watch. And Don, you can help a brother out here. It is the number one stream, like, even more than The Queen's Gambit, which The Queen's Gambit was, like, huge.
Yeah.
It's, like, 20 million more or something like that.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Even more than Bridgerton?
That made, like,
Bridgerton was on the list. Bridgerton was on the list. Is that what my wife is watching?
You didn't watch. None of you men. Oh, she's already watched it, I think.
Yeah, that's the one that's like a little naughty. It's naughty.
Naughty. I watched it with my mother-in-law. It was very awkward.
Whoa.
Right. Right. Who's watching naughty stuff with their mother-in-law?
But has a great soundtrack. You're listening.
Oh, yeah. It's such a good soundtrack. What's your mother-in-law's first name?
Pam.
Pam. Pam. But listen to the music. Don't mind you that the guy's naked.
That's why so we're watching this.
I'm watching for the music,
yeah,
right?
I love the justification of these shows. Even if you don't like it, just watch how the subtitles don't even cause any disruption. Oh, the music is great.
Yeah, the music is fantastic. I read Playboy for the articles. The writing is fantastic.
Totally.
877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk with...
I have some texts.
I
have some texts.
It's our Just Text Me segment. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You have a lot going on.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yours. Okay. So I'll just do a few here. Lou, what is the name of the paint you recommended for cabinets?
Two different paints. I really like the Ace Cabinet and Trim paint. It's the best paint that you didn't even know Ace sold. It's a self-leveling alkali-based paint. It will absolutely take two coats, but with a little bit of prep work and sanding, you'll be amazed by the results. The other one is, oh my God, I'm just blanking on that I used on Quinn and Amy's kitchen. Beyond paint. Beyond paint, but it takes a long time for it to cure, but it's also very good.
Okay. What can you use to clean white oak floors? It's a new floor. He hasn't actually used a wet cleaner yet.
I would use Bonakemi hardwood floor cleaner. Doesn't matter what color it is. Their combination of their pH balance cleaner with the microfiber mop, and you have a couple ways to go. You can either use, they have a mop head that just has a simple handle and you can spray with a spray bottle, or they have a quick mop that has a cartridge that you put on there, and the spray is integrated into the mop. It's awesome, actually, because now you can refill that bottle with, like, a gallon jug, and it makes cleanup great. What I love about that, we keep it hung, that mop hanging in a closet, and if there's a spill or something sticky on the floor, you just grab it, you squeeze it, you go. Very easy to use, and it will not harm the finish, and will keep the floors looking great. One more?
One more. What did you use to refinish your hardwood floors?
We used also a Bonakemi product called Traffic. It's probably one of the better floor finishes out there, and it's a waterborne finish in satin. You can go with a semi-gloss, but semi-gloss is shinier than you think on a floor. The satin is gives you a really nice gloss, I would say it's a soft gloss, and it really looks nice. It's super durable. They'll do a set coat first and then two other coats over the top of that, so a total of three, and they'll screen in between there and go from there, and you'll really be happy with the results. 877-213-4LOU is our number. This is Dee in Flossmoor. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
How may I help you?
I have for you. My ceilings are, I think, what they used to call popcorn paint.
Yeah.
It's got the textured ceiling. And the last maybe month to 2 months, I've had such a film over everything in my home. And I'm thinking it's coming from those ceilings. And I'm wondering if that's dangerous and to be breathing in.
Are you burning a lot of candles?
None at all. And I have radiant heat, so I don't have a furnace blowing.
And you have a film.
It is a film. In fact, I did a few investigating setups and even leaving it on my phone overnight. You'll see some dust particles. And I'm just concerned about breathing that in.
Okay, so the popcorn ceiling, above the ceiling, is this an attic space?
No, it's actually the cement panels from the unit upstairs.
Oh, you're in a condo.
I'm in a condo.
All right. Well, let's do this then. And when is the last time that ceiling was painted?
2016 to 2017, when the gentleman remodeled it.
Okay. And do you have multiple rooms in this condo?
I do, and the only rooms that don't have that film are the rooms that don't have that popcorn ceiling, like the closet, the bathroom, the laundry.
Got it.
Which makes me think it's that.
Well, I mean, so my first thing is, when you look at it, if it looks sound, that you're not seeing anything, like literally if you look at it, you're like, well, it looks okay. You know, it's not like there's a big patch missing. But if it's starting to get a little decay and you're just getting some particulate through there, first of all, I don't think it's dangerous. I mean, you certainly don't want that stuff to be in your lungs. So, I mean, but it's not asbestos or anything like that. So I wouldn't worry about that. You may be able to solve the problem by just painting the ceiling and sealing it up. It could just be that it's starting to break apart a little bit, and that's where you're getting a little bit of flake. And my point was is that if you had a room where you have this and you could just paint the ceiling as a test, use a thick napped roller and some ceiling paint. I mean, that's really all you have to do. I would maybe if you can take a broom lightly just to see if you can lightly brush it so you don't damage the ceiling, and then have the ceiling painted with ceiling paint to seal it back up. You're going to know pretty quick if that is the solution to it all, because then you can do your investigation, your testing that you just did, to see what's there. If you're unsuccessful, then maybe you have to remove that ceiling. Another thing that you could consider is maybe doing some type of whole room and or whole house air purifier. I just did a thing on WGN-TV on Friday about whole house air purifiers. We posted the video on my Facebook page if you want to look at it. There's three really good units. They are not inexpensive. They're anywhere, start at $300 and go all the way up to over $700. But one of them will do up to 1,500 square feet. And that would do a really good job of making the air a lot cleaner in your space. Thanks so much for the phone call. We're bumping up against time here. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome to winter driving in Chicago. Snow, salty roads, and ice. Chicago winter weather can be tough, and it pays to be prepared in the right SUV. Look no further than the Chevy Equinox with switchable all-wheel drive, traction select for performance on ice and snow. Plus, it automatically engages safety technology like low-speed forward automatic braking, lane departure warning with side blind zone alert, and forward collision alert, and you can keep your family safe this winter with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. It's not just service, it's peace of mind. Right now, get $5,500 cash allowance on most 2020 Chevy Equinox models. Plus, current Chevy owners get an additional $750 cash allowance. It all adds up to big money. Check out Chevy's Shop, Click, and Drive. You can shop online 24/7. Take delivery at home. It's simple. It's safe. It's smart. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, or just go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Chevy Equinox is built for Chicago winters. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4-LOU. This is Pat in Glenview. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, my house is around 60 years old. And every faucet in the house has a different water pressure, some almost none. And I was going to ask if you recommend repiping the entire house. I can't put an outdoor sprinkler in because of the water pressure.
Have you had
I don't know where
have,
to start.
Have you had anybody look at it yet?
I believe a company came out and they suggested it. They had said that they would, you know, redo the ceilings wherever it would be cracked. They don't mm-hmm. repaint it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did come out, and it was a couple of years ago. And the pressure is getting a little bit worse. So I'm just worried about who to call.
Let me ask you this. How old is the house?
Sure. Around 60 years old.
Okay. And here's where I would start. You're in Glenview?
I am.
Find out if the village of Glenview will, and do you have a water meter?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Find out if the village of Glenview, as part of your tax dollars, will come out
okay.
and check the pressure that you have at that meter. Okay? And it should be, it quite possibly could be at no charge, but there may be a service fee or whatever. But this is my point. I want the village of Glenview to tell you, and say, hey, you know what? You got really good pressure here. You got really good pressure here. So, whatever, 45 pounds of pressure. It all looks good, lady. Well, then we know we got good pressure coming in, and then it makes sense
okay.
to repipe your home. Now,
okay.
The house that Lindsay lives in was built in the 60s, and she had that whole repiping done by a sponsor on this radio station, the repipe specialist people. And I know that, you're very happy with the work, and the water pressure is very good in the house, right?
Yeah, we've had no issues, great water pressure, all good. No, we had a good experience with them.
They had a very good experience, and so while there are other people that will do that, I do know that they do a nice job and they kind of focus on this. They're plumbers. They come in, you know, it's when you kind of are just focused on what has to happen. There's not only the pipes that come from the basement and the water meter, but then what he mentioned or they mentioned the ceilings, because there's horizontal lines, those risers that they talk about that lead all the plumbing to those fixtures. Those in an old house like that can, you know, become atrophied, and you don't have any, you know, there's not enough volume in the pipe to bring the kind of water that you need. It's really less about pressure and more about volume.
Okay.
But I just need to know and verify that you have that at the meter. If all of a sudden Glenview says, boy, you know what, Pat? You only got 20 pounds of pressure here. Now we got to replace the water service. Okay? That's a lot of money, but you don't want to do one and not have what's feeding it give you enough pressure, which is no good. Our last caller is going to get a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Working remotely, don't have enough room? Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. And we're going to send that out to Ann, who is in Lake in the Hills. Hi, Ann.
Good morning, Lou. I have a utility room on the second floor, and I am getting a new floor installed, luxury vinyl.
Yep.
And I have a squeak right where my washer-dryer is, and it's just very annoying. The installer said that he can put some screws into the floor, but only if there's a joist there will it work. Is there anything, if there is no joist there, is there anything else that can be done to eliminate the squeak?
Well, they should be able to determine that there's a joist there, and if that squeak is there, the basement underneath this floor is finished?
It's the second floor, laundry room.
I mean, look, the worst case scenario is that subfloor, are you going down to the subfloor?
I'm looking at Luan right now.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a subfloor.
Currently, you're looking at Luan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the vinyl floor is up.
Got it. So they should be able to determine where those are and put more screws in there, and that should tighten it up. But other than that, you'd have to take up the floor and cut it out and then put bridging in there, which would be a big job. But why spend all this money on a new floor that squeaks? All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. Stay warm. Remember that snow is coming. Get that ice melt down. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio.